Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
There it is.
Chad Kelly.
So good. Oh, what could have been?
What could have been, man? What could have been?
And for that, you know, for him to be drafted where he was drafted and have multiple opportunities and, like, really good opportunities,
really good opportunities.
Like, there was no quarterback here.
Right.
There was no quarterback in Indy. Andrew Luck was gone. I mean, it's wide open. I mean, you could get some playing time, and he just couldn't take advantage of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. And he had that last name, you know, that got him in the door.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't follow through. All right. A Super Bowl winning coach is choosing to handle his rookie quarterback a certain way this preseason. Should Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur follow the same blueprint? In recent years, coaches have had important running backs sit out their preseason games, right? Those higher round picks to ensure that they're healthy once the regular season starts. But wait, did I say quarterbacks? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean running backs. Thank you, Richie. Thank you for not helping Stoke or not listening. But that apparently will not be the case.
What'd you say?
Exactly. That will not be the case for the Steelers and their rookie running back, Najee Harris. Head coach Mike Tomlin said during his Tuesday press conference that Najee Harris could be on the field for all four preseason games. They got the Hall of Fame game
right
tonight.
Yes, so they got the extra one.
The Steelers and Cowboys, that tilt starts at 6 o'clock. But Tomlin said, quote, he's a rookie. Man, he needs the process of game preparation and ultimately play. We've got four opportunities for him to do that, end quote. Interesting approach from Tomlin, unorthodox for 2021. What do you think of the way that Tomlin is handling his first-round running back and how it could relate to Javonte Williams?
I love it. I think when you look at a rookie running back that you're counting on to help you win football games right away, not, you know, 10 weeks from now, like right away, this guy's an important part of that team. You don't want him to knock the rust off, you know, early in the football season. You want to do it when it doesn't count. And so put him out there, get him used to the NFL game, get him used to the NFL speed, let him make some mistakes, correct those mistakes now when it doesn't matter, not when it does matter, and then he gets your quarterback blindsided because he, you know, blocked the wrong guy. Make him make those mistakes in the preseason games. So I think with guys that you are counting on, young football players, they ought to play. They ought to play a lot. So I love that approach from Mike Tomlin. A guy like Javonte Williams, play him a lot. Let him get the reps and see if you can trust the guy. Same thing in Pittsburgh. See how much we can trust Najee Harris. See how much the Broncos can trust Javonte Williams. You gain trust by going out there and doing it. You don't have many opportunities, and now you don't want to wear him into the ground. But at the same time, it's football. You got to get ready to play. If you're counting on the guy to help you win football games and he's a rookie or a young football player, play him a lot. This is what preseason's for. You can't bubble wrap everybody.
How do you think – the Broncos will handle Javonte Williams here in these preseason games?
It will be interesting to see. If I had to guess or speculate, I would say very cautiously. That's kind of how they handle everything right now. Is that fair to say?
You're probably right. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And I'm not taking a shot at him
for that, right?
Because there's different approaches, and because you don't want to get, you know, guys hurt. But I think the Von Millers, the, you know, Bradley Chubbs, guys like that, I don't want to play those guys a lot. Like Von, I don't even have to play Von at all. Fine. Don't even play.
Really?
I'm cool with that.
I actually think Von, this time last year, I would have agreed with you, but I think coming off a year of missing football completely, even if it's just a series or two.
And that's fine.
I think
but I'm saying, I don't mind if you don't play him. You know, I don't mind. But I certainly understand that perspective. Play him, five, six plays or something. Whatever. Right? Get the rust off of him, too. That's fine if you want to do that. If you don't play him, I'm fine with that also. Like, certain guys like that, I understand that approach. But young football players, I mean, you got to play them to see if you can trust them, to get them ready to go week one. I mean, the Broncos don't have the luxury for Javonte Williams to make three or four mistakes, you know, in the first game
because
he didn't play a lot.
True.
You don't have that luxury. But certainly, you know, it's a fine line. It's a balance. You don't want to get guys hurt, but you got to get ready to play football. So, you know, and the Broncos haven't done a good job of that lately.
They haven't done a good job
of playing football and winning football games. So maybe a different approach during preseason games. But when your job's on the line, you know, it's easy for me to say that sitting in this chair. But when your job's on the line and you're just like, hey, let's just get to the regular season healthy to give us our best chance to win. Because if you lose a few starters now, you know, we saw what happened last year.
Yep.
But young football players, I would say play. I mean, what do you think? The Najee Harris and the Mike Tomlin approach, and you know, do you think Javonte Williams should play a lot?
You know, I think the Broncos are in an even more unique situation than Pittsburgh that would allow them to do this, because Najee Harris is going to be their starting running back. Javonte Williams is going to be a secondary back more than likely, and you have the luxury to, you know, get him going. Because if Najee, I'll tell you this, if Najee Harris hurts himself, I don't even want to say anything serious, but if he hurts himself in one of these preseason games, there's going to be a lot of Steelers fans looking at Mike Tomlin like, what were you thinking, playing our first-round running back in preseason games? And not that it wouldn't be the case if Javonte Williams got hurt, but
it's a little bit different.
It's a great point for this year.
Right. Yes. No, that's a great point. It is different. And you know what Mike Tomlin would say?
It's football.
It's football. I'm trying to get ready to play a football game, you know, in September here.
Right.
This is what we do. We got to get them ready to go. You don't get ready to play football by watching. You got to play football. So, you know, I don't think Mike Tomlin's scared that Najee Harris is going to get hurt and, you know, he's going to be criticized and he can't handle that. So I think it's all about your approach. And your thought process, obviously. And, you know, if you believe one way, I mean, Bill Belichick plays guys all the time sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. It's just, hey, you know, I remember in New England, Wes got hurt, tore his ACL, in pretty much a meaningless game at the very end of the season against the Houston Texans, right before the playoffs. Tore his ACL or something like that, out for the playoffs.
That's a good memory.
So, in a meaningless game. But, hey, it's like play or don't play. There's no, you know, it could turn out to be right. It could turn out to be wrong. I mean, but what's your philosophy? And what's your philosophy? And then stick to it and go with it.
Right.
But I think with young football players, they've got to play. They need to play. And the Steelers are going to be counting on that guy. You know, you want to see if you can trust him if you're the coach. The Broncos are going to be counting on Javonte Williams. Let him make the mistakes in meaningless games. We'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how everything gets handled.
Yep, and we're gonna have answers sooner than later here. I mean, it's here. In case you haven't heard, we got a football game tonight.
Oh,
we got a football game tonight, and it's with the team that we're talking about here, Pittsburgh Steelers, Dallas Cowboys tonight at 6 o'clock. This offseason is flying by. Are the Broncos keeping up? We look back on the week that was. First 7 days of training camp coming up next.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Looking back on the first 7 training camp practices, we're going to be out there tomorrow, but today is a day off. Nice little take a breath. You know what it is? It's our water break. It's our water break today.
That's what it is. We finally get a water break.
We got a water break.
These water breaks are nice.
Fatigue police.
Yeah. Put the clock up 5 minutes. Everybody takes a knee, lounges around. Oh, next period is special teams. Like, if you are a, you know, frontline starter, I mean, you really have about 15 minutes sometimes
yes.
where you're just doing, you know, nothing.
You got to make sure you don't get cold.
That was my point. Exactly. Like hamstrings, you know, like you got to get loose all over again. I mean, it's a long downtime for you. And that's the case usually when you have special teams or you're not a special teams member, you know, because you just kind of stand around. Sometimes you go with the quarterbacks, catch some balls or whatever. Quarterbacks are usually doing some drills and stuff, but you got to be careful not to, you know, all of a sudden just get cold and you go back out there and you pull something.
When you look back at the first seven training camp practices, we were at six of them. What sticks out to you? And I'll give you an open canvas here. Any position, any player, any coach, whatever. A particular play.
I mean, I do like these offensive weapons that we have been talking about. When you look at the receivers, Judy, Tim Patrick, I think Hamler has, you know, he missed a few days there, but I like how they're using him and what they're trying to do with him. Cortland Sutton is a little bit of a mystery right now to me, and I think you also. Is that a good way to phrase it? I mean, I say that because he's not right now. He's not back. He's not Cortland Sutton, but I think he can get there at some point, hopefully.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Right? That's why I say a little bit of a mystery. I don't know what if it's going to be 8 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, or, you know, 2022.
Right.
I don't know, right. But he's just not quite there right now. So we'll see how long that timetable before we see the old Cortland Sutton.
Right.
Because he's not that right now.
And just to be clear, because someone will say, I saw a mega highlight catch in practice. Like, no, what we're saying, just so it's not lost in translation here, like, he can still make plays out there.
Yes.
But we got to remember what the old Cortland right. looked like.
Yes. And that's what we're comparing him to.
That's right.
Right? So he's not there. The quickness, those types of things, going up and getting footballs, he's just not there yet. And we'll see when, because I do believe he'll get there.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
fingers
same.
Crossed on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I just don't know when and how long that will take. But Judy continues to dazzle and be Judy. You mentioned it yesterday, Zach. I can't recall a ball hitting the ground that he's dropped.
Nope.
And we weren't there on that Saturday, couldn't go. But other than that, we've been at every practice. Haven't seen a ball in a team 7-on-7 drill, and maybe there's been one, but I don't remember one. You brought it up yesterday, so you don't remember one.
No.
Where a ball has been thrown to him, and he's dropped it.
My eyes tell me right now he's been the best football player out of Broncos camp.
I can agree with that. I had to think about it, but yeah. Oh, I definitely agree, and I think that's it's by a wide margin.
Mm.
You know, it's hard to evaluate the offensive line right now. Where they had like two padded practices, it's hard to evaluate the running backs.
Yeah.
So when quarterbacks have been, you know, average.
Quarterbacks have been average. You think?
Yeah. Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Average. You think below average?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I won't give you pushback on that.
If you ask me the question I asked you, like what when you look back and just like the first thing that comes to mind, there's a lot that comes to mind because there's a lot going on,
mm-hmm.
and we just went through some of it. But the first thing that sticks out is yesterday's end of practice. The back-to-back interceptions, both quarterbacks competing against one another, bringing the team down the football field and turning it over, and the gasp let out from the fans.
Just you like, can't make that up.
Oh, like, are you kidding?
You can't make that up.
And then Vic blows the practice dead. And I thought Mike Evans, I thought, really, you know, Mike doesn't make a lot of good points.
Right.
Right?
I like legal weed.
But he made a good one this morning when he said, typically, you want to end practice on a high note. Like, something good happens, you know, wasn't it Bridgewater threw, like, the touchdown day one or day two, I forget, and they blew it dead after
right,
that.
Yes, yes, on the right sideline.
Yes, on the right sideline. Yes. Like, I grew up basketball practice, you want to end on a high note.
Yeah.
But for Vic,
yeah,
it is a high note.
Of course it is.
It's his
defense. Our defense stopped them, baby. It's what we do. Reggie, Bill, Kolar, come on, baby.
Knuckles.
We got it, baby, we got it. Of course, yes. That's his side of the football. Was a high note. Way to, hey, bend but don't break, guys. That's how you win games in the NFL right there. Love it. Great job. Way to close it out, Justin Simmons. Great pick right there. Absolutely. But, you know, when you look at the quarterback competition, I think, you know, to summarize, it's been kind of, I think, what we expected. Not very much, you know, great football. I mean, I think Teddy might have, we could say he had how about really good practice that one day? I don't know if it was the second one, and Drew had a really bad practice that day.
Yes.
On the one that I think you're talking about where he finished off with that touchdown.
Yep.
Teddy did. But other than that, it's been, you know, average football from both guys, really. To below average. So it's, but that's kind of what we expected. We didn't expect one of these guys to just run away with this thing. One guy to just be great, the other guy to just be, you know, good or below good. We thought it was going to be kind of a back and forth.
Yep.
But not very good play from that position. And that's pretty much what we've seen out there.
Here's Vic Fangio from yesterday when asked what frustrated him about the turnovers at the end of practice.
Well, from the offense's point of view, we didn't score. You know, you get the ball back with 2:10, you're down 7. You got 2 timeouts and a 2-minute warning. That's a doable situation. We got to go do it.
That's it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you know, he's a head coach. Obviously, he's a defensive coordinator. We're kind of making light of, you know, that and having some fun with it. But you know, it's like, okay, if the offense doesn't do it, well, all right, good job, defense. Right, but if the offense goes down and scores, it's like, all right, we need better from the defense. So, you know, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose.
That's right.
Here. And
right.
It's just the way it's going to be. Both sides aren't going to be happy. So, and yesterday it was just the defense that won both of them with 2 big plays. And that's what you need. You know, I mean, that's been – Broncos have lost games because of that, you know, and especially that first year. You know, Jacoby Brissett. Minshew,
Trubisky,
Mitchell. I mean, seriously. I mean,
Murderers Row.
Yeah. Mantle, Maris, and Babe Ruth compared to
Jacoby, Mitchell.
People are going to rip me for that one.
And Minshew.
People are going to rip me for that one. Who was the Murderers Row? I know Babe Ruth wasn't a part of it.
No.
I don't think so. Was it Mantle Maris? Was that the Yankees?
It was. Golly. But this is back in the 1920s. It was Earl Combs and
who?
Mark Koenig. Babe
what?
Ruth was a part of it.
Okay, so it wasn't Mantle Maris?
Lou Gehrig.
Ruth Gehrig.
Bob Musil.
Oh, good old Bob.
And Tony Lazzari.
Yeah, Tony.
The 27 Yankees. Who could forget?
Yeah, who could forget that? I mean, like, you know, they couldn't close games out, right? I mean, on the defensive side, like, we want the offense to win. We want the quarterback to do well and throw a touchdown pass, and we, like, celebrate. But at a certain point, you're going to need your defense to step up in those situations.
Right.
This is just as important for defense. To, you know, close games out
but
the Broncos, you know, yeah, they did do it twice. So.
You're right, but let's not forget the actual plays. It's not like Justin Simmons slid from outside of the frame and had a diving intercept. Like, Drew Lock threw it into his belly button. His stomach swallowed it. I mean, and Teddy Bridgewater, his interception, you know, was a punt for the DB. I mean, it wasn't like...
Still got to make the play.
Yeah, you're right.
But you're right also.
But
we'll finish this,
show
with us both being right. You're right. Look, it's layups. It was layups, but you still got to make the layups. And they were able to make the layups and put themselves in position to, you know, make those plays. And that's what they did. So you need the defense to step up in those situations when you're winning to close it out, and you're going to need the offense to do better. So I think, you know, those situations are what NFL's all about. Late in the game, fourth quarter, do you close the door or do you not? And the Broncos haven't been doing a good job of that defensively or offensively the last couple of years.
I think that in a year from now, if you ask me to, hey, look back, what do you remember about that first week? It won't be a pick or a reception.
Right.
It'll be this.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Can't make it up. Thank you for that, Pat. I mean, we are going to run with that, man. Thank you for that.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Oh,
all
okay.
Time, all time stuff.
Thanks.
All time stuff. All right. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
You too, buddy.
All right. Shout out Richie Carney, our producer behind the glass. We step aside for Nick and Cecil filling in for the drive coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Did we hear a ridiculous idea? Now, where does it rank in the pantheon of ridiculous ideas that have been
what's
set
Slayer
into this
say?
Microphone?
What's Slayer say this time?
Oh, Stoke. Stoke, don't do it to him.
It starts. It's the beginning.
And so it begins. A daily smear campaign against Mark Schlereth for getting our high hopes for Aaron Rodgers. They slander Paxton every morning. And here we are in the largest quarterback drought in maybe Broncos history. And stink dangled Aaron Rodgers in front of us.
Mm. You are giddy, giddy, giddy.
Oh my gosh. Uncontrollable.
Yeah. We are all so thrilled and so happy.
Is this the start of a new campaign? Maybe.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
I had a little good streak going there for a while.
You did, taking shots at Stink every day.
Daily.
Cecil Lammy is here with us in studio. D-Mac threw out an idea the other day.
Uh-oh.
And he may have been brainwashed by Richie on this one. I'm not sure. But here's an excerpt from Richie. Did you write this?
I did, because D-Mac was brainwashed by me.
Okay.
This one.
The idea here is that the loser of this competition, the loser of this quarterback competition, could get traded to Indianapolis for a third round pick.
No, I mean, I think that's, sorry, Richie, that's ridiculous, though. Why would Indy trade for the loser of the competition? And you got to understand their situation now. I mean, Carson Wentz is 5 to 12 weeks, so he could be back by, you know, close to the start of the season. And so you're going to bring in a quarterback at the very end of camp? That quarterback doesn't know the offense. He's got to learn the offense. How long is that going to take for that guy to get up to speed? And we're not talking about a Aaron Rodgers type of quarterback. We're talking about the loser of the Broncos competition quarterback. So, I mean, you put all that together, it's like, and for a third round pick, no, that's not going to happen.
Cecil?
No, it's crazy because you think Nick Foles is out there. Hell, Gardner Minshew, like you have much better options. Foles has Super Bowl winning history with Frank Reich, so you could go get Phillip Rivers again if you're the Colts. Hell, talk Andrew Luck out of retirement. That's more likely than the Broncos trading Teddy or Drew to Indy, especially for a third rounder. That don't make no sense.
Well, and why would the Broncos want to do it? Like, why would the Broncos want to do it? I get it. You know, this is the loser of the competition, but how great do you feel about the winner? We've watched now for what, how long? How many practices? Eight?
Seven
practices. Okay. This thing flip-flops daily. So how much confidence do you have in the winner that the winner is going to play 17 weeks? The loser might end up being the better quarterback option. I mean, that's how close this thing
is.
It's not crazy. You don't want to eliminate one of your options. And you know, quarterbacks get hurt all the time. Drew's been hurt a lot. Teddy has had, a major injury also. So you don't want to take away one of your options. The Broncos are trying to win football games this year. So I don't think they want to trade one of their options.
Who's your better backup? That's what I always say. Like, Teddy Bridgewater, I can trust as a backup. Can you trust Drew Lock as a backup? Based on what we know about him, based on what we've seen, Drew better be the starter because there's a crucible that he's facing this year. Teddy's got his own crucible. But the crucible for Drew is this. You're either a starter, you win the starting job, you play up to your potential, you have a history and a future with the Denver Broncos, or you're Blaine Gabbert. Same school, by the way, for everyone. By the way, Justin Fields, you know what Jimmy Graham said today? I'm spoiling one of our segments for the drive, but You know what Jimmy Graham said today? Justin Fields is like Russell Wilson.
Wow.
So, okay.
Whoa.
But
was
if
Richie
you're Drew
saving
Luck,
that one for y'all? Like, Richie's got a, like a little catch 22 here doing our show and the drive. He stashes a lot of stuff and keeps it away from our show. We're kind of finding out and gives it to the drive.
Are you kidding me,
Zach?
What? So I'm the case is still under investigation.
Oh, okay. Because you brought it to the board.
Publicly comment.
Okay.
We're connecting dots. I got stuff on a board with string tied together and just
we're going through audio and video.
Not doing it.
And you want to know what? Richie's so sensitive about it. Makes me want to lean into this more. Oh, I love it.
Lean.
Yeah, this is the idea, I don't think, is crazy, like the premise of it. But I think when D-Mac took it a step further and said a third-round pick, I think in that moment he might have lost just how valuable third-round, like the compensation in return, the value of these picks, a third-round pick, that could be a top 100 pick. No one is trading a top 100 pick for Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater.
No. Absolutely not. And like I said, I really don't think the Broncos would want to trade one of them. Now they got a third or second or third round pick. They might just say, okay, forget it. Ship them out. And, you know, we'll just have Brett Rippon as our backup. He played a little bit last year, but I don't think they want to move either one of them because they need that insurance. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I mean, it's a coin flip day to day on who wins this thing. And you might need both of these guys. The Broncos aren't in, you know, tank mode. They're trying to, you know, Vic's trying to save his job. I don't think he wants to see one of his quarterbacks shipped off for a third round pick.
Stokes says insurance, I'll stay guarantee on the box, like in Tommy Boy, right? Mm. You can put guarantee on the box. I got spare time, right? Yeah. You could do that, and that's all either one of these quarterbacks are. It's just the idea of, hey, you got a quarterback. I just look at the difference. If Teddy starts the season, how does the offense have to change if Drew has to come in? If Drew starts the season, how does the offense have to change? If Teddy can come in, because they can't do things that the other one can. Teddy can't spread stuff deep the way that Drew does. Drew can't hit things short and intermediate the way that Teddy does. You have two opposites. Actually, Brett Rippon is closer to Teddy than Drew is, to be sure. So if you had Teddy as your starter and Rippon as your backup, that would make a little sense. So it's like, what are you doing, Broncos? You're trying to ride two horses, one ass sugar plum, and that doesn't work.
Mm. The backup in Indianapolis... at the quarterback spot is Jacob Eason. You guys remember that name coming out of Washington? Ended up being a fourth round pick. I think there was a thought that he could, you know, be picked higher than that. But you know who would have had an opportunity had, you know, he walked a straight and narrow is Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
Chad Kelly would have been, you would think, in the mix to, I don't know, impress. More, I don't know if he would have been up for the starter job, but he would have had more opportunity than he has right now.
Did he screw it up, or did he just get cut because they didn't like his play? I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong, did he? I mean, we know what he did here, cost himself the job, but did he screw it up in Indy? Or did he just, you know, they just decided to move on?
Well, he had to screw it up because that's Frank Reich. That's one of Jim Kelly's best friends who said and told Jim Kelly, I'm going to give your nephew a chance because I like you.
Well, maybe he just wasn't good enough. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, Frank
Jacob Eason's not a barn burner. Well, let's say that. He's a big, tall pocket passer who can't move.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, but I don't remember reports coming out that he missed something or missed that.
He got in trouble.
He did.
Yeah, he got in trouble in Indianapolis.
Again,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. he was suspended two games for violating the league's personal conduct policy.
What was that for his incident in Denver?
No, excuse me. Richie, what was his violation in Indy?
I'm looking at it as he was suspended for violating the league's conduct policy.
Okay.
And then he got cut from the practice squad after that.
Okay.
What was that incident for? Was that for the incident here in Denver? You know, that's kind of where my mind goes is, was it a new one? Was it another one? Or was it the one here?
I thought there was some sort of new hiccup.
I don't know. Whatever. But he's had a couple golden opportunities for a guy that, you know, was... the last pick of the what was he?
Yeah, he's Mr. Irrelevant.
Was he Mr.
Yeah?
So you know, being drafted there as a quarterback, like he would have had a golden opportunity here, and he screwed that up. And then in Indy, you know, there's another opportunity for him to actually try to get on the football field, which is almost a miracle for, you know, a seventh round last pick of the draft prospect.
Do you guys remember when him and Deshaun went at each other in college football? Like, imagine there was a time when you saw Chad Kelly and Deshaun Watson, and they were going toe-to-toe against each other.
That's right.
And it was like one of the greatest games in college football that season.
That's right.
And you're thinking, I can't wait to see these guys turn pro.
And Chad Kelly flashed a little bit here. I mean, he played well. He was exciting in those preseason games.
He really was. I mean, he can throw the football. And he's tough. He hangs in the pocket. And, you know, he just kind of wasted, you know, gave it away, unfortunately.
Yeah. We got to bring back the Chad Kelly music. We haven't played that in like 2 years. Remember his song? Under Armour All-American.
Yeah.
It was a swag Kelly.
Yeah.
If we could
make it. Slaughter was better.
That probably needs
the song. The song, not the prospect.
All right. A Super Bowl winning coach is choosing to handle his rookie running back a certain way this preseason. Should Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur follow that same blueprint? We'll explain next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.